5-4-3-2.
This is Wine and Dining LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for spending your Friday with us. Today, my guest has shared so many interesting stories about an experience from becoming a chef. We have Chef Ada Ekmejan from Montreal, Canada. Welcome back, Chef. Thank you so much for your insight on what it takes to become a chef. So we talked about your experience, your school, and then your first restaurant that you worked at, the French restaurant. What was your next next career?
So basically, after I left the French bistro, I wanted to still, you know, keep on learning about the French cuisine because, it all started, all food started from French cuisine, you know, all the fine dining and this and that. So I decided to go to the museum of Montreal. It's called Musée des Beaux-Arts. And they had a small fine dining restaurant inside. I went there and I started as a line cook, and I stayed there for another 2.5 years, and I ended up being the sous chef. So, you know, gathered as much experience as I can, and it was a very small restaurant, so few people in the kitchen. So you get to learn more working hand in hand with the chef, with the previous sous chef. I gathered up a lot of information. And after 2.5 years, I decided, you know, I've had enough of the French side. I said, I want to start with some Italian, you know, get to know the Italian, because French, after French, the Italian one is big. So it was called Bice, now it's called Beatrice. So it was and still is one of the best and most high-end restaurant in Montreal still until today. I went there and I started, basically I did the vegetables. I was the vegetable guy. So whatever vegetable that used to go on any hot dish, main course, I was the one who was preparing that. And then after a year, I started doing the fish. And then after the fish, I started doing meats. And at the same time, I was always looking at what my chef was doing, and I was, you know, we were always paid salary, like daily salary. So it doesn't matter what time you came in, doesn't matter what time you left, you're going to get paid the same amount. So I always asked my chef, like, can I come in earlier? And he goes, if you want to come in at 9 a.m., come in at 9 a.m. I'm not going to pay you more. So I decided to go in at 9 a.m. because that restaurant had a sister restaurant that was open for lunch, and us, we were only open for dinner. So I used to go in and for lunch and at the other restaurant, which was located right across. And I used to work there with their chef for free. And I learned how to grill meats and cook meats and the temperatures and this and that. So at the same time, I was getting that, you know, that perspective, that chef's perspective. And then I was coming to my actual job and working alongside my chef and my other, the sous chefs and the other cooks, because every single cook can teach you something different. So I worked there for 4 years, and then I decided, that's it. I need to go and find myself at least a sous chef or a chef de cuisine position in a restaurant. So I went.
I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second. I was going to ask you, so you would work in a restaurant and then, you know, build up to come to pretty much sous chef, and then you would go because you wanted to learn. So you wouldn't mind, you know, going down again, basically down the ladder, right? Like you're climbing up and then you go down and then you up and down because you wanted to. You weren't just becoming comfortable.
Information. You just need to gather up as much information. You're like back then, my chef used to tell me, you're like a disk drive in a computer, you know. You put your disk drive, you add, now it's a USB, you could call it, you know. You put your USB, you add as much information there as you can and until you can't. And then you take that USB out, you have to put a bigger USB with that takes more storage, you know. And then you add more storage to it, you know. So until this day on my laptop, I still have the recipes that I've done 15 years ago with my friend chef from the first restaurant, and I still use it until this day, and it's a point of reference. So that it can never fail you, you know. And once you've done it so many times, it stays with you. So then I decided to go to this place called Le Chien Fumant, which that's where I really grew up as a cook and as a chef, because it was a very small restaurant. It was a 35-seater. The menu would change every month, and the chef there saw the potential in me and gave me the reins, and he made me chef de cuisine after a year. And I decided to go crazy, and then I asked him, I'm like, listen, I know it's your restaurant. And we didn't have a theme. Like, it wasn't a French, it wasn't an Italian, it wasn't an Asian. It was everything that we wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, okay, now I can go crazy. And now I can actually put my creative mind and what I've learned on pen and paper, and then into a pot and a pan. And then onto a plate. So that's what I did, and that's where it all started. And then I opened up my catering company, and and that's it.
So what were the crazy dishes that you said you went crazy? What were the dishes that, you know, were like completely out of ordinary, or not ordinary, but, you know, creative, innovative, and then the customers would come and they're like, yes, this is what we were waiting for so long, and finally it's here.
So, you know, Armenians have this thing called bastırma, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in regular French, all the French restaurants that I worked at, we used to do gravlax, salmon gravlax, which is salt and sugar cured salmon. And then you just you put it on a salt and sugar cure. You let the salt and sugar just marinate with it. You cure it, and then you take it out. You let it in the fridge for a couple of days, and then you slice it. And after that, I decided, why not do a bastırma cured
fish.
Salmon?
Yeah.
And, you know, with the chemen on top, and that those spices, the fenugreek, the pepper paste, the garlic. And it's flavors that, you know, work well with fish. So I said, I told my chef about it, the executive chef, and he said, listen, go with it. We'll taste it. We'll see. So I did that, and people freaked out. And then I served that with a tahini and yogurt creme fraiche with what was the caviar that I used? A sturgeon caviar.
Ooh, plus caviar on a bread or on a cracker?
It was a zahter and whole wheat dough cracker.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so good. Yeah. I want it, like, I'm drooling now.
So, you know, just to give you some examples of those things, like, it was out of the ordinary, and for Armenians and for Middle Eastern people was out of the box, and for the French Canadian, it was totally out of the box. But people loved it.
I bet. There's what not to love. Everything sounds so delicious. So are you still working for that restaurant, or are you on a new chapter in your cooking journey?
So I worked there for 6 years, and then I decided to leave, and I wanted to do my own thing, because my catering company that I said I started back in 2014, it started to grow a lot, and I started to have a pretty big name in the Montreal community, and the Chef Zona basically started. Why Zona? I'll just explain it fast. I'm a big football fan, American football, not soccer, and I'm a big fan of the Arizona Cardinals. So back when I wasn't even a chef or a cook, my friends used to call me Arizona. Because my name is Araik Mikchian. And ever since I became a cook and a chef, and they started calling me Chef Zona. So that's where the name Chef Zona comes from. So then I went to Gatto Matto, which is an Italian restaurant, where they approached me after I quit. And that's when, you know, you've kind of not made it, but, you know, you don't have to go and look for a job. I said on Facebook, I quit my job. Thank you very much for the experience. And I quit without even having another job. I just wanted to, you know, concentrate on myself a bit, see what I want to do, travel maybe a bit. And then they approached me, this Italian restaurant called Gatto Matto, which is Armenian owned. And I started working here. And at the same time, they told me you can still do your caterings. And then I got hired to be a chef consultant for a food group company called Foodtastic, which they have about 120 different franchises in total in the Montreal region.
How do you manage your time between all those projects? Because all of that is time consuming. How does your schedule look like?
Well, you know, I sleep. I rarely sleep more than 6 hours. Five to 6 hours sleep is pretty much the most I'll get. But you know, being organized, putting things on your calendar, having a timeline and having a list of priorities. You know, I always go with the four box square. What's very important? What's important? What can wait? And then the extras. You know, so I go with that four box formula, and you know, I manage as much as I can.
Wow, that's amazing. For your catering, is it Armenian food? Is it any food, or how does that work?
When I started the catering company, I didn't say it was only going to be Armenian. But since I'm Armenian, and you know, the Montreal Armenian community is pretty supportive of me and the company. You know, I started doing Armenian food, but very like different, modernized, like I said, and Odar has even started to, you know, call me and say, hey, listen, I hear you're doing Middle Eastern, modern Armenian fusion. You know, we're interested. So in the last 3 years, it became more of a Armenian, Middle Eastern catering more than anything else. But, you know, I'm very comfortable to do any type of cuisine.
Mm-hmm. I think it's time for us to talk maybe a little bit about any recipe that you would like to share, because I'm sure the listeners are ready to take some notes and maybe prepare something over the holidays and share it with their non-Armenian friends. You know, talk about the culture, open maybe pop Armenian bottle of wine. So do you have a recipe that you can share with us today?
Yes, I'm going to share my manta recipe. Which I think all the Armenians know manta or kinkali, but mine is more of a Western-style Armenian manta. So ingredients we're going to need are dough, our sauce, and the meat mixture. So we're going to start with the dough. It consists of 500 grams of flour. All-purpose flour is fine. Then we're going to go with 150 milliliters of water. Tap water is fine also. 1 teaspoon of salt, and then we're going to go with 2 tablespoons of olive oil and 2 raw eggs. So you can put all these ingredients in a big bowl, stainless steel bowl, and mix it up start with a fork and then go ahead with your hands until a nice dough ball forms. Saran wrap it, you know, put it aside, let it rest while you do your meat mixture. Meat mixture, you guys can play around with it however you guys would like. I'll give you my simple recipe for 1 pound of medium lean minced beef, about a cup of minced onion, a teaspoon or a teaspoon and a half to 2 teaspoons, depending on if you would like your meat mixture to have a lot of spice flavor in it. I would put allspice, 2 teaspoons of allspice. If you guys like it spicy, you guys can add whatever spice you guys like in terms of spiciness. And then I would go with two or three tablespoons of red pepper paste. Make sure it's Armenian, guys. And then mix it all up. And that's your meat mixture. And for your sauce, you know, traditionally, there's various ways of eating manta. Some people eat it with chicken stock. Some people eat it with the tomato base. Some people eat it just with yogurt. Mine incorporates all three aspects. So I do a liter of chicken stock or vegetable broth. Chicken broth. And with that, I put two tablespoons of tomato paste in the pot, 2 tablespoons of pepper paste, and then you would hit it with olive oil, garlic, and mint. For the olive oil, garlic, and mint, I'll let you guys decide how much you want of it. I personally like a lot of garlic, so I put a lot. And basically that's it. And then you just have to roll out your dough, cut your squares, put the meat mixture into the squares and cook it at 400 degrees, about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how crispy you like it.
Well, I took your class, and I have never had mante before. In Armenia, we were used to more like Russian-style dumplings or the Georgians, like khinkali, or the Russian are kind of similar too, so they're boiled. And it's been to me always seems like such an intimidating thing to do. But after taking your Zoom class, which if you do those, let's talk about them too, because I'm sure it was 3 hours that I spent that I didn't even cook. I just watched everyone cook. But I learned how to do that, and I've done it now already twice. Since that Thursday, I've done it twice because my kids love it. I told them yesterday, I said, I'm not making this anymore because it's time consuming. And I said, well, how about we wait for the holidays so you boys can help me so we can all do it together. They love it. The recipe is delicious. The broth with the tomato and the mint is so good. I can just drink it as a soup.
Thank you very much.
So thank you. Do you do the classes regularly, or that was just for a fundraiser?
That was just for a fundraiser, but, you know, after the Zoom class, I got a lot of people messaging me about it and asking me, you know, oh, my God, it was so good. You were a natural. You should do it more often with different Armenian various dishes. So I might do it again.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I have enough time for it, but we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. We have, the time is just flying, you know, because there's so much to talk to you about. I wanted to ask you if you've been to Armenia and what you think of the Armenian food and wine culture today. And also, of course, would love to hear about your future plans before we say goodbye.
So I've been to Armenia twice now, 2013 and 2017. I want to talk more about the 2017 one because I experienced much more of a food and wine experience. I experienced it more in 2017 because the first time I went, I was a tourist. I visited all the churches. I visited all the regions. The second time was more for food and wine. So I was honestly very surprised of the food and wine culture, more of the wine culture. So I went to this place called Invino. I think, is that what it's called?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I went there and I was just astonished of the different bottles of wine they had, you know, and it wasn't only Armenian, and the sommeliers there knew exactly what they were talking about. And, you know, I don't consider myself as a wine connoisseur or a sommelier or anything like that. I just love to drink wine, and I know which wine, you know, will taste good with certain foods. You know, I was honestly surprised. I had one of their tastings, and it was amazing. I had the experience of going to Vahe Kirshkerian's winery, and I had the pleasure of cooking with them and then doing a tasting of, at this point, I think it was 12 different wines we had, and having the Kirsch sparkling wine also. It was just, it was a crazy experience, and honestly, I don't know, I just cannot wait to go back and hopefully, you know, soon where we can help out the Armenians in Armenia and the Gharapakhtis, and also, you know, see how much it evolved from 3 years ago.
Yeah. What is the future holding for you? What do you what are your plans? I mean, you're already doing so much, but I'm sure you have even bigger pictures.
So my plan in the next couple of years, the reason why I came to work with the people I am with now, Fugato Mato, they're two Armenians that own and operate a lot of restaurants. So we're planning to open up a restaurant called Nur, which means pomegranate in Armenian. And I basically want to open up in the next 5 years different various restaurants, higher end, middle class, and then a little fast food joint, just to give the population around the world and in Montreal, because we do have a big food scene here, to give them an experience of what Armenian food really is, and you know, the different aspects that we cover in terms of higher end, you know, modern Armenian, and then the regular day family style Armenian food, and then the fast food that, you know, when I went to Armenia, I visited and I started eating the street food. It was just amazing. So that's my next project coming up.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I can't wait. That sounds amazing. That's actually a beautiful project, and I wish, you know, that was here in Los Angeles, because that's where we are and we love eating. Thank you, Ara. Thank you for sharing your story, for inspiring us to cook Armenian food. And I think we should do another one just to talk a little bit more about things that we didn't cover this time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Anush. Thank you for having me, and I hope to see you soon in L.A.